Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, Black History Always. Black History Always is a new podcast in partnership with The Undefeated that takes a deep dive into the stories of now and tomorrow from a black aperture that empower and inspire. That's Black History Always. Listen wherever you find your podcast. Also, ESPN Plus subscribers, join an ESPN Plus Fantasy Football League now for a chance to win $250,000. Sweepstakes is U.S. only, 18 or older. No purchase necessary. Visit ESPN.com/ESPN Plus football rules for full details and official rules. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. Coming up, we have got the continuation of our charity trivia contest, the inaugural edition. It is me versus Shannon Penn. But first... All right, it's that time of week where we have a guest join us, and that guest, the producer of Chennai and Golic, 4 to 7 Eastern, ESPN Radio, wearing a fly t-shirt with my face on it. Shannon Penn, what's going on, man?
How goes it, sir? I'm looking forward to our matchup later today. I would talk smack, but then I don't want it to cost me later.
Yeah, I could understand that. If I was you, I wouldn't say a word. You know what I'm saying? And vice versa. I'm not going to do that neither because I know what you're capable of. I know what you got. You know what I'm saying? This is the mutual respect bowl.
Right. Like, well, even with that, though, like, I appreciate, you know, you guys, when you and Gabe reached out to have me on, like, with this, because it's you and I being vets of the trivia game. Like, this is a weird space for, like, black guys to occupy. And, you know, you always go, like, in the barbershop and you have folks who talk all this smack and think they know everything. And then you just sit there and you know the answers and you know when they're wrong. You're like, should I embarrass this dude or not? You know, but so for us to occupy this space on a podcast and you're giving us that opportunity, greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, because the problem with doing that in the barbershop is once you demonstrate you know that stuff, then they ask you everything.
Every damn thing. Absolutely. You got to pick and choose your battles and when you want to flex, too.
Yeah, yeah. And I chose my battle, which is to stop going to barbershops. Like it was just like, especially like after I started being on TV about this, people knew what I did. Like, at your barbershop, do they know what you do?
Yeah, well, up here, yeah. And then when I lived in other places, they didn't. But up here in the Bristol area, a lot of the black folks who work at ESPN get their hair cut at the same barbershop. So country know everybody, so he don't really care.
I was about to say, how many options y'all got?
Right, it's the option. Like, like, that's part of the orientation when you first come to Bristol. It's like you get your name badge and, oh, you need a spot for haircut? All right, cool. Go see country. Here's his contact.
Boom. Dog, that's the thing people do not realize is for us when we start getting to these new locations and stuff like that, they're like, yo, so where are the barbershops? What you mean, ain't no Where's the barbershop?
Right, and that reminds me, too, like, whenever, like, in college, like, if you didn't go to college in a big town, if you were, like, small college town, and it was, like, the one barbershop everybody went to, unless you had a dude on campus who cut hair in his room. But other than that, if you wanted to go to an actual shop, it was, like, the shop that everybody went to.
Yeah, man. So I'm going to ask you here, because, like, you're coming off what I would term, and you let me know how you feel about this, I would term the last season a success for the New York Knicks.
Okay.
Right? I feel like it was successful. It seemed to bring you Knicks fans in general some joy. Like, did it bring you joy?
Absolutely.
All right, so it brought you guys some joy. So are you carrying on with, like, residual positive feelings and taking those with you from the Knicks and ascribing them, applying them to your New York football Giants with Judge Joe Brown running, what you call it, East Rutherford High School or wherever their training facility is?
It got to be better, right? That's the assumption. And this is absolutely a make or break year for Daniel Jones. There's no doubt about it. You have Saquon coming back. You went out and got Galladay. You drafted a wide receiver in the first round. You have weapons. There's still some questions on offensive line, but you have offensive weapons. So without a doubt, this entire season, the success that the Giants will have is based squarely on the shoulders of Daniel Jones. And I'm not particularly confident that he's going to be able to come through. It's one thing to throw in interceptions, but it baffles the mind the way this dude finds ways to fumble the ball. Like, I don't get it. Like, are quarterbacks allowed to play with Stick'Em? I don't know if that's a thing. If not, it needs to be, because this dude somehow, some way, finds a way to turn the ball over. But so I'm not confident yet in his abilities.
He need to get some of that, what they call it, that spider tack. That's what they was using in baseball, right? Like that's what had the pitchers get it all under control. Maybe he need to go get some of that to make that happen, right? Because look, I've been living here now for 4 years. Ain't nobody really been good. Right. Like the Knicks were good relative to previous, but when you think about it, since I got here, all y'all's little teams have been whack. I mean, I guess the Nets weren't whack, but you know.
Right, that's what I was going to ask. Well, since you're there in New York, do the Nets register? Did their success register in New York at all?
I don't know. It's hard to say because we've been under a pandemic. But I have not gotten the feeling that anybody, like, actually cares. Like, you know, when the world was open and I'd be out here in these streets, people would stay asking me about the Knicks, even though they knew what the answer was. Right? Like, this is before there was any reason to be hopeful, any glimmer. You dig? Right. But people always asked me about the Knicks. Always did. Nobody asked me about the Nets when I would go to Nets games because they cheaper, right? So I stay going to Nets games. Nobody asked you no questions about the Nets when you at those games. And I know they wanted to ask me, hey, who's number 32? You know what I'm saying? Like, I know they wanted to ask me questions about who these dudes were that were actually on the floor. Like, oh, that dude with the afro, where he go to college? I know they wanted to ask me that kind of stuff. You know, they never did. It never came around in that way. But the Giants, like, I feel like if the Giants get good, that's something that could ramp up the locals, get the folks a little charged up.
Not to mention, too, like, they're in a very winnable division. Like, I would still say Dallas, depending on, you know, on Dak's health and that situation, Dallas would probably be the favorite. Washington has a really good defense, although there's questions at quarterback position. And then, you know, Philly's in a rebuild now with Jalen Hurts. Like, it's a very winnable division for the Giants. I just don't know if I don't have the confidence in them yet that they're going to be able to put together enough wins to do so. I mean, it might take, now that we got 17 games, I got to do the math. I was going to say 8-8, but what is it now? It's like 9-8 season, yeah, or whatever. Is that 17? Yeah, like a 9-8 season or something along those lines.
The thing that get me is that last year, what, they won 6 games?
Yeah.
And they got this one win against the Seahawks. I remember I watched that game. And then the rest were just against the bums in their little local conference, right? The little division. All the other ones were against those teams. Like, and I guess maybe that's all you got to do to win, but this does not indicate to me that the Giants themselves are actually good. Now, you mentioned Washington, and you said questions at quarterback, and they definitely have questions at quarterback. And I'm here to ask you, how is it that people really talk themselves into Ryan Fitzpatrick every year? Like, this dude managed to stick around now. He's like 49 years old, and people just like, yo, man, Ryan Fitzpatrick, why do you think this might work if it's never worked before? And he's still whining about how he lost his job last year. Yeah, you lost your job because everybody knows with you, it's good and then it's bad. Why should we wait for the bad to come around? Because we owe you, dog, you just got here. And so he comes, like, he did an interview with Pablo over here and they went to college together. So when you get with your friends from college, you might whine about your job. I understand that. But we do not have to facilitate all this whining from a dude that's not good.
Right. And to your point, like, I see him probably starting the season, but I don't see him finishing the season. And then that's, and I always mess up the last name. Is it Heinicke?
Heinicke,
right. So I'd assume that Heinicke is going to take over at some point. The question with Washington is how bad is it going to get before they make that change? Because I imagine that Fitzpatrick can give you a game or two, you know, but then he's going to probably cost you several games. And the question is how quick they're going to pull the trigger to make that move.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you watched Taylor Heinicke play?
He's okay. I saw him at ODU, right? That's where he went. ODU. Like, I'm familiar with him. He's not bad. Like, there's a ceiling on him, absolutely. And there's potential there. But I just don't – there's still questions of whether or not he can be as consistent as they need. But yeah, to your point –
But if Ryan Fitzpatrick is the alternative
– that's where I was going to go. It's like you don't then, you know, replace a guy who has questions about consistency with the most inconsistent quarterback in the NFL. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I feel like I watched Heinicke play a couple games, and I'm like, I would not start Ryan Fitzpatrick over him. Like, if Heinicke comes out here and he can't do it, then I would go in the other direction there, right? And hope you get, like, to me, and this happens with some people, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm not mistaken, Mariano Rivera used to be a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
Right? And then they figured out, he should be coming in at the end of games. With Fitzpatrick, I feel like what we've learned is you don't want him out there in the beginning. Right? But maybe some things will shake out. And at the end, you can go ahead and bring him in. Ain't no shade in that. But he ain't no 60-minute dude.
Right. And the luxury that Washington does have is that defense. And that's, you know, that's a defense that has the potential to be the best in the league. And you got a guy in Chase Young who's just unblockable. Anytime you have the luxury of having a defensive line that you don't have to bring the blitz, that you got your front four can get pressure on the quarterback. That gives you all the options in the world on the back end to be as exotic as you want to be on the defensive end. So Washington has that. Like, they know game in and game out, regardless of who's at quarterback, that their defense is going to keep them in games. And more importantly, they're not going to get blown out in any of these games. So that's quite the luxury to have.
They getting jabbed up, though? Because we know one problem that team seem to have is they ain't got dudes that want to get jabbed up. You know what I'm saying? You never know when that whole defense might wind up in quarantine. By the way, do we know if Jack Del Rio got jabbed up? Because I don't know anything in particular about Jack Del Rio's views on the vaccine, but he is literally number one in the NFL on my list of dudes I don't think trying to get jabbed up.
Oh, nah, probably not. Like, I'm not making any reporting or assumptions, but I am going to just say I seriously doubt that your man's got jabbed up.
Jack Del Rio walking into the meeting with some like green shake or something, right? Like, I think he did, though, because I don't think it's possible for him to do his job given all the restrictions as the defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he probably grumbling about it every day he walk in there. My arm's still sore. Big old tough football player, you know.
He walking in there working out his arms.
Nah, like that division, and then Jalen Hurts over there, and I'm not a believer. I have not been a believer. I will not be a believer. I hear that the players love him and everything else. He seemed like a real good dude. He a coach's right. son, you know. He seemed to know how to do all of those things. Tua loved him even after he took his job, you know. I mean, some kind of friend he is, but whatever, right? But no, I'm not believing. I understand you are predisposed to dislike the Cowboys, but it feels like they should be good, doesn't
that's
it?
That's what I'm saying. It's like you got Dak coming off of a serious injury, of course. There's still questions on the defensive side with that team, but they have the weapons on the offense. And you would imagine that Zeke would start looking like Zeke again. I don't think the offensive line is ever going to be what they once were, but the offensive line could be better. Like, they probably have the best roster in the division, so Dallas should be the favorite, but like I said, with that, just don't know. And it's just something, I'm sorry, it's just something about this team that just can't quite, you know, it's like the Luther Jerry curl with this team. Like, it looks the part, like it looks like it should be a Jerry curl, but then you look up close and like, that's not a Jerry curl. And that's what this Dallas Cowboys team is.
Yeah, I feel like it wouldn't be great for your peace of mind if the Cowboys were good, but I tell you this, boy, it would be great for business.
Oh, without a doubt. And that's the thing, too. Like, I understand, like, whenever people ask me who your rooting teams are, I'll tell you who my rooting teams are. But more importantly, I root for whatever show I'm working on. Mm-hmm. And when Dallas is really good, or if Dallas is really bad, but more particularly, if Dallas is really good, they're always going to be top of mind and people are going to be talking about them. So that's good for business. I know what my A block every show is going to be. That's a win. When you know the night before your show what your A block's already going to be, oh, that's a win. Well, that's my A block. That's my E block. That's my C block. That's TV terms for what segments we're going to talk about. Yeah. But I know what set when we're going to have Dallas on. That's a win for me, baby. I'll take that every day.
Any time that it's like, should we go with that or the Cowboys? Why did you even put this other thing in my face? But people are like, oh, the Cowboys get too much attention. They're not even good. But there's so many people in America who want to know what's up with them, whether they are good, bad, or mediocre. Like, we did not make the rules. It's different with them in every way. It's different with them. And so give me some relevance. I think that's all I need. Give me some relevance. And hopefully this year, your team won't go out here and break Dak's leg.
No comment.
ain't y'all still lose that game?
Because Andy Dalton came in that game, yes. Right? Did we lose that? We probably did lose that game without pulling up the schedule.
Yeah, speaking of Andy Dalton, how long the Bears going to try to trick me into believing that Matt Nagy going to try to go out here with Andy Dalton try to save his job? Right? Can you imagine if your job was on the line and you decided, you know what, I'm going to put that in the hands of Andy Dalton?
No, it's not going to happen. Like, you know, I know Nagy said earlier this week he wants to see Dalton get more snaps in the second preseason game. That's all well and good. You know, I'm more concerned with the number of snaps that Justin Fields is taking with the ones in practice. And that's another thing, too, and we'll get to this overarching conversation, but with Chicago, you drafted Fields in the first round for a reason. You took him where you did because he's supposed to be the savior, and he's more than just the savior of the Bears. He's the savior of Matt Nagy's job. So if you're Nagy, you're going to play Justin Fields.
Yeah, and I mean, the other guy is Andy Dalton.
And meanwhile, Nick Foles is back there just counting his money, huh?
Dog, Nick Foles. What like a one-of-a-kind career situation we've got here. This dude had like that one super lucky season when he came in for Vic that year. He had 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. But if you watched it, you realize he wasn't actually good. Mm-hmm. But how could you argue with 27-2? Got it. Then he went back to being Nick Foles. They traded him to the Rams. He was out here looking like Nick Foles. Did he go right back to Philly after that? Like, I feel like there was another place that he wound up being mediocre, but I'm not sure. But he come to Philly, and the quarterback, when they win the Super Bowl.
Right, right.
And then he go back. You know, then that's right. They give the job to Wentz, and then Foles comes back in and looks better than Wentz, but still not actually good. And then he went to the Bears, and he looked like cheeks.
Right. But my question for you, Bo, and because I had to think about this too, now that we have a shortened preseason, how do you think that impacts the evaluation process? Because, you know, typically we had the 4 preseason games. Your third game was the dress rehearsal. So how does a shortened preseason overall, not just with the Bears or whomever, how do you think that impacts the evaluation process?
Yeah, I guess that's a good question. I don't know, because I've never had a great handle on just how important the preseason games are for evaluation.
Oh, not so much just the preseason game, but the preseason overall. Like, it's shortened because we got the extra regular season.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they know the answers to these things a lot sooner than they actually make a lot of these decisions, right? Like, I bet if you went and asked a bunch of beat writers, tell us what the 53 is going to be at the start of camp, and then match that up with what the 53 is at the end of camp, I bet they look very, very, very similar. That's just my guess. I don't have an answer for it necessarily, but that's just my guess. Like, I don't think this is going to change things too much on it. Like, with Fields, for example, what's going to determine if Justin Fields starts is just at what point they're like, yo, what are we doing? You know, or if Dalton comes out here and just looks bad, then you really got no choice and you got to put him out here. Now, Mac Jones, that's the one I got no idea when he's going to get in there, because I'm not sold. Right. Like, he seems like a nice enough chap, like a nice enough fellow. But I'm not buying it. I'm not sold on Cam Newton either.
Right.
But I know what Cam Newton could do if the throwing ain't working for him. Mac Jones ain't got nothing for you if the throwing ain't working for him. And they finally got some people to throw to. Right. Like, they went and got some tight ends.
Right. They went out. It was very un-Belichick, like, went in and brought some weapons in here on the offensive side. Like you said, a couple of
they got Jonnu Smith.
Jonnu and Hunter Henry. Right.
Is it Hunter Henry or Hayden Hurst? I always get them two mixed up.
Yes.
they are. I can never remember which one of them is which.
Honest thing is, like, I don't know. And I'm trying not to Google it, but I don't know. They got
like
one of them
went to South Carolina and the other one went to another SEC school, I think, right?
I thought he went to Minnesota.
I don't know. You think he went to Minnesota because his name is Hayden, and you think he kid to Hayden Fry, coach of the Minnesota State Screaming Eagles.
Right. It makes sense in my mind, right? Like, as it was working, like, hey, dude, look like he went to Minnesota.
Yo, something just dawned on me. They couldn't make the TV show Coach now because coaches are too boring.
Right. And then they're so worried about, like, their perception and what's going to be said. Like, I doubt, like if we had a college coach today and we did a, I guess, reality show, even scripted, who would be that guy? Who would be that guy that you would want to watch week in and week out if a college coach had their own show?
You couldn't have a defensive coordinator like Luther no more, right? You couldn't have your kind of like bumbling, just, you know, like Barty Fife type of situation anymore. We used to have them guys. It all got so corporate you couldn't even make a sitcom about a football team no more.
Right. But speaking of this, though, and I was talking about this last week, like, I would love to see an updated version of the movie The Program. It came out in 1993, because even, you know, from there to where we are today with the NIL, with recruiting, with social media, with all these other things, like, if you did an updated program, that would be awesome. Even if you did a, you know, updated version of Blue Chips, which touched on a lot of the things that, you know, happened in college, they were touching on that, you know, with recruiting and all those things back in, what, 94 when that movie came out.
Yeah, but hold up, though. If we do the program again, is it going to be as utterly preposterous as the program was? By the way, The Program is a Disney movie, if you did not know. But didn't The Program had a scene where them dudes was laying on the yeah, stripe in the freeway?
And they had to take that scene out. Yeah. So if you're one of the
that's right, because somebody did
scene,
it.
Yeah. If you're one of the lucky ones that saw that scene in the theaters, kudos to you. But yeah, they had to remove that scene from the movie. But yeah. I mean, they did. Like, they had, you know, steroid use. You had, you know, rape allegations in that movie. You had cheating. They didn't really get into the recruiting side as much. And that can be something that would be new, you know, in today's market, like I said, with the NIL as well. But I mean, you had Cain is Able. Come on. You had one of the best Heisman slogans ever with Cain is Able. Like, it gets no better than that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Blue chips. Man, what a terrible acting performance from basically all the basketball players, but Penny Hardaway in particular. Like Shaq, for whatever it's worth, Shaq acted like he acts in interviews now, so maybe he wasn't having a problem, but just Penny, if I leave, will my mama lose a house and job? He couldn't muster no real emotion behind that.
You wouldn't hire on Butch McRae?
Oh, Butch McRae was a terrible actor. Terrible. And what was the other one? Was it Brian Evans?
No, you had... It was Ricky.
Yeah, Ricky Rowe. But that was what is his name? What did Brian? He played for Indiana, right? What did Brian Evans?
You're better than me.
Yeah. Like he was one. He could have been one of a handful of Indiana players. But yeah, he got the tractor. And I honestly thought his daddy sold himself short. This boy was as good as they said he was. They could have got a lot more than a tractor.
Well, he was saying though when Coach first went to interview him that they were giving him other equipment. Like the big thing he wanted was a tractor, but they were giving him other farm equipment as well.
That's right. Then the streets peeped that their tractor was a little too nice.
A little, very nice. But I mean, you look at Shaq's character. He only got a Lexus. Like that's it. Like Butch got the hookup. Butch got mom's got the house. She got the job. Ricky got the new tractor, and he got the money in the duffel bag. Remember,
that's
he
right.
All cash. In the duffel bag.
That's right.
And the duffel bag boys came.
I don't know if anybody dropping off the cash in the bag like that anymore. Like the game feel a little more organized now than the straight like cash in the bag. Speaking of cash in the bag, I understand there are very serious things going on in Afghanistan right now and that we could like talk about the tragedy and everything else, but I honestly don't feel like doing that right now, and all y'all can do that. The president of Afghanistan, per reports, got out of there and went to Tajikistan with bags full of money totaling $169 million.
Wait, in cash?
Has to be cash, right? They say $169 million in bags. And I'm like, how many bags and how big are these bags? And I think they said they couldn't put more money on the plane because they didn't have room.
It's a lot going on with this whole situation. Like how, like, okay, hold up. So they transported it via, you said a plane, right?
Yeah.
Like, so it's one of these huge cargo planes, I'd imagine, right? So
if I mean, I think it's whatever plane they could get, given the circumstances.
This whole thing was just like baffling. So then what do you, okay, when your plane lands, right, with all its cash, then what do you do with it? Like, do you leave it at the airport? Do you unload the plane? Where do you hide? Like, you can't stuff that amount of money in a mattress. Where are you putting this cash?
Dog, not only where do you put this cash, what are you doing with $169 million, right? Like, here's my thing, right? I don't know what the cost of living is in Tajikistan. You dig? I got no idea how much the cost of living is there. But how much you think it takes to live like a millionaire in Tajikistan?
I don't know, but I'm sure it's not $169 million.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't need a meal to live like a millionaire in Tajikistan. Like, I feel like you show up in Tajikistan with, say, $2 million cash, you'll never have to pay for anything else in the world.
And my thing, too, like, I don't know what a security detail looks like. I guess if you got $169 million in cash.
Oh, yeah, but you security. Better. You better pay them well.
Right. But like, because if we know about the 169, you damn sure everybody there knows about the 169.
Yes.
Yo, my man. Let me holler at you for a second. Hold on. Yo, my man. Let me talk to you for a second. Nah. Come here real quick. Nah. He'll be back. He good. He with me.
Yeah. You got to bring your own security force to this. And they're not allowed to interact with the locals at all. You will be making no new friends.
No. And like you said, you got to pay them very well because the price of the mid went up.
Sky high. But all right, it's about time for what the people showed up for. Sent Shannon a text yesterday that said, I challenge you. And I do challenge you. We're about to get this trivia crack.
Okay.
You ready?
Are you ready? Like, I'm good. Like, I, you know, usually with these things, I might study, go through, you know, a Sporkle test or two, you know, But today I'm like, nah, I'm good. Nah, I'm good. There's no way Bomani beating me. He might be the number one seed, but he ain't beating me.
Stay ready.
Welcome to the Bomani Jones Right Time Charity Trivia Tournament. We're in the semis. We got a big matchup, an old school Right Time matchup between two pretty impressive trivia guys in the first round. So this is how it goes. We got two contestants, five questions apiece. There's one lifeline. You can turn it into multiple choice. You already know what it is. Let's meet the contestants. First up, we got Mr. You Can't Write Champion Without a Pen, Shannon Penn.
Oh, wow. That was impressive. Thanks, Fox. I appreciate that.
You knocked off a big dog in the first round, so you deserve some respect. He's going up against the man with the name on the show, the man whose face is already on a t-shirt, so if he loses, we are ready to mourn.
See, there we go.
Bomani Jones.
There we go. You don't already kill me off. There we go.
I didn't put your face on the t-shirt. Gabe put your face on the t-shirt.
This ain't airbrush. This ain't got no dates on it.
Well, if you lose today, we have to put the date on. But you're not going to, because you're the number one seed, right?
Oh, I am? Okay, so now we add. Okay, all right. I see what's going on here.
Oh, man. All right, Shannon, who are you playing for today, buddy?
Yeah, I'm playing for the Stuart Scott Memorial Cancer Research Fund at the V Foundation.
Mr. Jones?
I am playing for the National Diaper Bank Network.
Let's get it. First question, Shannon. How many players may be dressed and on the bench for each team in an NBA or NCAA basketball game? Ooh.
I'll go with 12.
We're starting off rough. The answer is 13.
Oh.
The way well, you made it seem like it. I was like way off.
I don't know what games you play, but if you would have said 100, you would have got the same amount of points as if you said 12. I don't think it matters. That was your only easy question. The difficulty ramped up. We go straight from easy to medium in the semis. All right. Which team did the Buccaneers defeat in Super Bowl 37 to win their first trophy?
The Raiders?
Nicely done. Bounce back.
So it passes for medium. Okay.
I mean, I don't grade the questions. I just read them. Who was the first African-American player to be hired as a manager for a Major League Baseball team?
Robinson.
Well done.
Dog, once you say first African-American, we know that. Put that question in front of Spencer Amina and watch him fumble, but we know that.
Really, like first African-American with anything. It's like, oh yeah, got it.
Yeah, we both did the Honda Campus All-Star Challenge. You know this question coming up.
Yeah, these some OGs right here. Go ahead, Don. What's the next question?
That's impressive. Bounce back right there. All right. Which team's field goal did a fan snowball disrupt, leading to a 1-point Denver win in the snowball game? Remember, you have the lifeline, and this is your fourth question. One more to go after this.
Can you repeat the question, please?
Sure. Which team's field goal did a fan snowball disrupt, leading to a 1-point Denver win in the snowball game?
I got a feeling I know the answer, but I'm going to use my lifelines here. Give me multiple choice.
Okay. You got either the Chiefs, Steelers, Vikings, or 49ers?
Chiefs. Steelers.
I gotta be honest, I don't remember this. Like, that is some accuracy. They should have brought that fan down and gave him a jersey.
Chiefs, Steelers.
Just hit a field goal out of the air?
Chiefs, Steelers, Vikings.
Chiefs, Steelers, right. Vikings, or 49ers?
He heard you first.
I'll go with the Chiefs, the division game.
Sorry. Coming up short, it was the 49ers.
Did you know that, Bo?
I had no idea what game you're talking about. And
I don't remember the snowball game. Yeah, it's in quotes like it's a thing. I should know. I don't remember that. I will be YouTubing after the program. All right, last question. Michael Jordan averaged 37 points during the 1986-87 season and scored over 3,000 points. How many three-pointers did he make that season?
Oh, that was a good one. All right, I'll go with Let's see, this is 87. I'll go with none.
Nah, here's what's wild. I think I know the answer to this. Uh-oh. I wish I had it. You tell me if I'm wrong, but I think I know this. Is it 18?
12.
Close. 12, okay. I knew it was one of those. So I would have got two of Shannon's. I would have got two.
You would have gotten the Frank Robinson one?
I would have got the ones he got.
Yeah.
Look, so I don't feel bad.
Yeah, I was surprised at the basketball, the number of players on the bench. I thought it was higher than that, but either way, sorry, Shannon. All right, Bomani. Which year did the original U.S. men's basketball dream team play in the Olympics?
Damn, let me think. Oh, man, this is hard. Damn, how did they give Shannon no questions that were hard like this? 1992?
Yes, you got it.
Look, see what happens when we get your face on the shirt?
I don't know. We'll see what happens in these next couple. Who held the single season record for passing yards before Peyton Manning topped it by 1 yard in 2013?
Huh. That is, I believe, Drew Brees.
Well done. 2 for 2. All right, you got to get one of these next three to knock off Mr. Penn. All right, which year did the Miracle Mets win their first World Series championship in franchise history?
Man, put that question last just in case I get the other two wrong so I can give y'all some drama when I win this.
Barry Bonds set the MLB single season record with this number of walks in 2004.
Was it 233?
Ah,
232. 232, damn.
Yeah, it's tough. All right, which undrafted quarterback threw a Super Bowl record 414 yards and was named the game's MVP?
Undrafted quarterback.
Yeah.
414 yards, Super Bowl MVP. I feel like that has to be Kurt Warner.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you have your multiple choice, and we still have that Miracle Mets question sitting out there. Which year did the Miracle Mets win their first World Series championship in franchise history? So do you want to answer the question? Do you want to use the lifeline? You want to take the lifeline, keep it in your pocket just to show off?
So here's what I want to do here, right? What I want to do is I want people to understand that my man Shannon is a G with his also. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want people to recognize this.
Uh-huh.
So I am going to, not to boost up his score,
obviously,
but simply so that he can show the people, I will allow Shannon to give the answer. So the final will be 3-2 rather than 4-2 because I am not inclined to run up the score. Oh, you want me to run it up?
Beat him down for a reason.
Beat him down! 1969.
Well done, sir. You nailed it. I mean, I'm shocked, Bomani. I mean, I know you are a good person, but I remember years ago hearing you say that you're not the type to let kids win. So what's going on? Like, you were about to take off the gas for Shannon?
Oh, I wasn't going to let him win. It's kind of the same as when he said 12 and 13. You know what I'm saying? The win's the win, you dig?
That's fair.
Like after we had gotten that point, I mean, let's be honest here. This was a dominant performance over here from New York City.
Okay.
And it ain't got nothing to do with Shannon. It didn't matter who you was putting up on the other side of this, baby. You realize I was one walk away from perfection in a contest where nobody had gotten up to three up until this point. I'm laying down this gauntlet right now just in case Joel Anderson make the finals, because I need him to understand that his vengeance tour, I mean, he may be the irresistible force right now, but right here, the immovable object. Look at me. Do I not look immovable?
I appreciate that we are taking this up to WWF levels of trash talk. He's already moved on. He's in the ring right now. He took the mic from me and is talking trash to his next opponent. I know he tried to give you one final bucket to make you look good, but he's kind of stunting on you, Shannon, a little bit.
Oh, seriously, the snowball game? I ain't never heard of the snowball game. Okay. Come on, I had to look it up to make sure I had a Wikipedia. At least it has a Wikipedia. So I ain't never heard of no damn snowball game. There ain't no anniversary. There ain't no form of record. They don't tell no stories. There's no 30 for 30 on this game. I ain't never heard of no damn snowball game.
And the worst part for Shannon is, you knew all the ones I knew on mine, didn't you?
Hell yeah, I did.
I do all of yours too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is a
travesty. This is a mockery. This is a sham. This is a Travesham mockery.
Look, the Travesham mockery is when they was asking me about the veins on the maple leaf. You should have been here for that one.
Oh, God.
Never going to let that one go.
And it was like a medium question.
Yeah, it was. I was not appreciating how dominant your performance was until you reminded me that the one that you got wrong, you missed by one walk. That is pretty impressive.
You know me, Neek.
Come on, look, Bomani was out here tweeting about Barry Bonds walks yesterday. Come on, and he get a Barry Bonds walk question?
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Feel like we got a little salt here.
Someone
seems to have been rendered sore from losing.
I'm just saying, you know, look, it's not over, you know? Would it be wrong if I said stop the steal? Can I do that here? Is this an appropriate place for that?
Hey, somebody get shedded on some of that electro stim, man. Work that soreness out before you get to work today. Y'all got a Theragun over there? Somebody hit Shannon with that Theragun. So this percussive therapy to work out some of the pain.
Oh, man. So you're predicting Joel on the other side, or Joel's just the only one you want to talk trash to?
I'm entertaining the possibility. Like, ain't no fun to talk no noise to Howard. Howard ain't really going to participate in that. Howard just going to be grumpy about the whole concept. You know what I'm saying? Joel been out here. He was a little salty that y'all underestimated him in the contest against Mina, and he came dropping bombs on all the haters, and I just want to let him know. We waiting, dog. North side versus south side. We waiting on you, man. We there. Joel Anderson do what he needs to do to get to the mountaintop?
It's like the snowball game. We got a name for it and everything.
That's right.
All black males, Temptations Final Four is down to the three. What's the three-man group? Because after this is Casey and JoJo. What's the three-man group? Is there one out there?
The OJs.
Oh, yeah, I was wondering. The only thing that came to mind was SWV. Obviously, they're not dudes, but I was like, there are not that many black trios out there. It's like four and five.
You got LeVert.
Oh, yeah, LSG, LeVert, Sweat, and Gil.
Yeah, if I say, Gerald LeVert was in two trios.
Teddy Riley, right?
Yeah, Crazy Legs. What Crazy Legs up to?
The problem is I grew up with New Edition and Jodeci and 112 and those groups. So I, like you guys, I don't go back to the four tops too often.
Wow, okay. I'm with you. I'm just saying this, though. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time, where victory was presented by Bomani Jones. We do this thing three times a week, by the way. Gabe Bazin and Dave Presley handle things behind the scenes. Thank you, gentlemen. Shannon, where are you going? Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm going to thank you hating like Shannon. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. No time for losers. I am the champion of the show.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.